The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hi there, welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We've got an incredibly good day's action today, a Super Sunday on William Hill Radio. Group races galore at the Curragh, and we're going to be looking ahead to them in this podcast. My name is Alex Dunn, and I've been joined on the line by William Hill's resident Irish expert, Andy Holding. Morning, Andy.
Hey, good morning to you, Alex.
A really top-class card today, isn't it? I mean, we say that cards are good and better than we expect, but this is genuinely top-class, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, the Phillies race is a really good one, the 315, that group too. The first down stud debutant stakes. I think we've got some really, promising two-year-olds in the Fairer Sex there, and just before that, a good clash between Maputo and Cintalula. Not to mention the Phoenix Stakes as well. Unfortunately, we got a short one in there, which will probably win. Makes betting very unattractive. But, yeah, as far as class goes today, Curragh stands out by a mile.
Absolutely. And we've got some tricky competitive handicaps to run alongside that. So, all good. We are going to kick off with a maiden. The 215 is the first race. Not a great deal of form to go off. Johnny Murta's charge, Gorteo, probably has the best form in the field, but all the major stables are represented. What do you fancy here?
Yeah, I think there could be some significant improvement with one or two in this race. I wouldn't be absolutely dogmatic about this contest. Obviously, as you rightly said, Gorteo probably just about sets the benchmark here with that fourth behind Aidan O'Brien's Australia, who was sent off 130 on back in mid-July, staying on quite nicely for minimum pressure in the latter stages to just get picked for third on the line by Juniper Tree, who, to be fair, has subsequently come out and rather let the form down to a degree when finishing fourth the other day at Nace behind one of Johnny Murta's youngsters. So, speed figure-wise, it comes out quite well in the numbers, but the actual form hasn't actually unravelled yet and worked out as well as I thought. That said, with normal improvement over an extra furlong and being by two filly, you'd expect Johnny Murta's filly here with Johnny on board to improve, to be good enough perhaps to go and win this race, because the likes of Terrific, Scalabrina, Gold Necklace, for instance, have shown just bits and pieces themselves, so they've obviously got to improve even more on what they've done. Out of the two horses owned by Derek Smith, then I would suggest that perhaps the Gold Necklace is one to look at from the future. I think this is very much a horse that has been, trained for handicaps, but I think down the line this will definitely be running in nurseries, caught the eye a couple of occasions. And also I think Terrific will improve on that run first time out behind Avenue Gabriel at the Curragh. But I'll stick with Gorteo. She's just about done enough so far, so maybe it's the safest policy, if you like, is to go with her.
OK, then. So Gorteo in the 215 for Andy. The second race is the 245. It is the Royal Whip Stakes, a Group 3 contest over a mile and two furlongs, and five of them go to post. And as you mentioned in your introduction there, this looks at a matchup between Maputo and Cintalula.
Yeah, it's the big clash of the two speed figure horses here today. As far as English handicaps go, there was none better than the one that Maputo won at Newmarket at the July Festival, but he won by six lengths, beating a really hot top-class field of handicappers in a sensationally quick time, and the fact that he won by six lengths clearly indicates he's up to pattern company, as he proved when he went to Hamilton next time out and lowered the colours of stable companion Altalalia in pretty imperious fashion, as his odds suggest. Mark Johnson's also in terrific form, and he makes a rare raid over here to the Curragh. He doesn't probably do it often enough, but when he does bring them over to Ireland, as we've seen at Dundalk on many occasions, he has to be feared. 7-4 favourite this morning with William Hill. I think that looks about fair enough. But he's up against a really tough, gritty three-year-old that I like immensely, and that's Cintalula. She's been a regular on the Quadcast for the last month or so. And Jim Boulder's certainly not frightened to pitch his horses into the deep end time and time again. He's almost like the Dave Evans in Art of Ireland. You know, he's run Dawn Approach four or five times this season when, you know, the pause and refreshes would have probably been on the top, on the agenda for one or two of the trainers over in Ireland. But he's kept her quite honest in the last week or two. Of course, finished fourth in the Irish Oaks, but she didn't rest on her laurels. She then ran 5 days after at Leopardstown and got the better of Mars, who obviously is a, you know, good Group 1 horse. And then I thought she ran arguably just as well last time out, even though she got beat in third. I mean, those two that beat her, Ernest Hemingway and Royal Diamond, are real two proper out-and-out Group 1 mile and a half horses over in Ireland. So she lost nothing in defeat. And as a three-year-old against the older horses, to only get beat half a length, you know, was a really good effort. And I'll probably stick with her today. You know, she does like the Curragh. She's attacked here from the front quite a few times this season. And a mile and a quarter should be absolutely ideal. So in the big matchup of the day between two very improving horses, I'll stick with the three-year-old trained by Jim Bolger and go with Shintalula.
OK, Rory Cleary taking the ride, of course, as Kevin Manning is over in Deauville. So possibly a good opportunity for him. The 3:15 is a Fillies Group 2 contest over 7 furlongs. It's a race that you said that you're particularly looking forward to. Tapestry heads the market for Aidan O'Brien and Just for O'Brien, but all but one of the runners in the field bring winning form to the table. I don't suggest that Tapestry is going to be tremendous value at 4-5.
No, you're very much buying into the hype and the future prospects of Tapestry here. If you're taking 4-5, I'll have to start off by patting the William Hill odds compilers on the head here by getting this race absolutely spot on. I can't fault them. They've got the right prices about the second and third favourite, the two big dangers, because Tapestry, I think, probably, like I say, is the one that they fear the most, hence the fact that they're trying to duck or dodge a bullet here with Tapestry. A filly that won first time out of 6 furlongs and not doing all her best work until after stages, suggesting that easily a mile and a quarter next season is going to be well within a compass. 7 furlongs today should be absolutely ideal. I mean, she beat Caruso the other day. I mean, the form is nothing to shout home about. Caruso got beat the other day for his last of 10 behind Princess Noir in a listed contest the next time. So the form as it stands of that race at the core is, you know, that Tapestry won is nothing to shout home about. You certainly won't be rushing to take 4-5, you know, with regards to that form line. And I would go against her here today because I just think she's a bad bet at 4-5 and probably put up the two that ran behind wonderfully in that very good race at Leopardstown. On the figures, this race is probably the best fillies race in Ireland so far this season. It was won by Aidan O'Brien's wonderfully in the first-time visor. But perhaps who started very strongly, Eye-Catching in second, and Avenue Gabriel, who's a course and distance winner, make up two horses here that I think are going to give the favourite plenty to think about. And William Hill, as I said, I've got the odds right. 3-1, perhaps, and 15-2, Avenue Gabriel. I think I'd probably split mistakes here. Perhaps certainly did all her best work at the end in that race at Leopardstown. She says, yes, she's going to be very effective here today on this stiff track, and she's got the cheek pieces on for the first time out. But I wouldn't discount Avenue Gable either, although beaten by her perhaps on that occasion. You know, she comes back to the track where she's already won before. So this is a really intriguing affair. I don't think it's all a one-way street with Tapestry. So I'd play the next two in against her, perhaps, and Avenue Gable.
Okie doke. The 3:45 is the Phoenix Stakes. It's a Group 1 contest over 6 furlongs and is the feature race of the day. And Aidan O'Brien's War Command heads the market. Been backed into 3-1 on this morning, Andy, and landed the Coventry Alaska in very impressive style. The form of that race hasn't really worked out, but nevertheless, that has to be considered the best form in the field.
Yeah, so far, yeah. Speed figure-wise, you'd suggest that. It was a good time produced by the winner, and he won by 6 lengths, but we've had 9 runners out of the race so far, not one has won. So as you said, it hasn't exactly been a glowing endorsement for Walker Man's future prospects. But that said, he couldn't have done it any more impressively. And, you know, opposition-wise, apart from Sudri Man, I don't think this is the strongest Group 1 we've ever seen. I do like Sudri Man. I certainly think he'll make the favourite work. But whether we have the residual class to, you know, pull off a bit of a shock, I'm not totally sure about. I do think I'll stick with Walker Man, despite these odds of 3-1 on him. He's no betting proposition here, only for the needy and greedy, the big players who want to get stuck into a chunky one at a thin price. I suggest Sudri Man is the one for the forecast, which is blatantly obvious, but if you are looking to play, that's the only way I could go. He's won here at the track, and he's put up some decent times, and he's quite tough as well once he's under pressure. So Walker Man will probably win this. But yeah, I'd probably just view this race as a watching exercise and see how he shapes up, you know, with regards to next year's guineas.
Okay, then the next race that we'll look at is the 4:15. It is the sprint stakes over 6 furlongs, a Group 3 contest, and some real experienced sprinters, shall we say, here that they know their job. They do it a lot. Russian Soul won just 2 days ago at Tipperary. Has been knocking on the door of late and got his head in front. That there's so many consistent types in here, and one that I'll throw at you, Andy, just to start with, is In Salutem, who's been back from 33s into 22s this morning.
Yeah, an audacious punt on In Salutem. A horse I do like, but I do think he's a handicapper at best. Actually, I think they've got him on his right trip today as well. They ran him over 70 the other day at Nice, and I thought he ran above himself over that trip, because not totally sure that that intermediate distance is his ideal bag. But he ran a commendable race, and he got stuck on the far side as well on the dead rail. I can't see him winning a race like this. Don't think he's a Group 3 horse. I like Seesaw. I thought it was a nice effort last time out. She, you know, disposed of Russian Soul and one or two in behind at a fair benchmarks with regards to Irish 6 furlong form. She's obviously up in grade today, but she's a former Group 1 winner before in her native land. So I think Aidan O'Brien's been sort of, you know, gradually bringing her along without, you know, throwing her into the lion's den, as it were, so far this season. Certainly think she's a worthy favourite on potential and what she's been capable of in the past. But at the prices, I'd probably, you know, just go against her here, only because I don't want to take 11 away to about her. I'd probably go with Hamza each way. A real commendable four-year-old trained by Kevin Ryan. He's a multiple winner over 6 furlongs in his career, mainly handicaps, but those handicaps are often more strongly run or just as strongly run as group races anyway, so I don't think there's a great deal between them. And I think his last run indicated he's certainly up to this class by finishing second behind Herat. Hopefully he'll make the running as well up the stand rail. He's drawn 9 of 10. If he can get ahead of Send My Love to Rose up the stand rail, I think he's got a good chance of dominating. That's the best way to ride Hamza. And with a quick break, I could see him certainly hanging on enough in there to certainly give the favourite something to think about, and maybe get in the frame at the very least for us.
OK then, so Hamza in the 4:15. The penultimate race on the Curragh card on Sunday is the 4:45. It's a filly's handicap over 6 furlongs. Once again, some pretty consistent types in here, that the likes of Knock Stars, Penny Serenade is bidding for a hat-trick, I should say. What do you fancy here, Andy?
Well, the draw's very significant here at the Curragh, usually on good ground. They come up the stand side rail, so those that are drawn high are often favoured. So the ones in single figure draws are certainly going to be up against it, the likes of So Devoted, Peakstone, etc. Even for Sony, who was a bit unlucky the last day down in Sligo, has got it all to do from that outside berth. The ones that are drawn towards the stand side rail, I think I'll highlight their claims. Certainly Perry Serenade is on the upgrade. She won off a mark of 52 last time out now, so she's definitely in against the big boys here now, racing off a mark of 68 in a proper decent 0-80, 0-90 handicap. We'll see what she's made of. She couldn't have won any easier the other day at Nice. I certainly think she's up to this kind of level. Whether she's actually good enough to win, only time will tell. Bonia, a filly who's been handed the perfect draw up against the Sunside Ralph, an informed performer. She's won 3 times this season, but every single time she's had plenty of cut in the ground. She's certainly not going to get that today at the Corona. Only time that she ran here on fast surface, she finished well down the field. So despite the good draw, I probably couldn't back her today at 11-2 because I don't think the ground's going to be in a favour. So I'd probably take a little bit of a punt here on one that I think has been overpriced. Toluther Come. A horse who's very adaptable with regards to conditions and distance-wise. Her best run of the season came here at the Curragh over 7 furlongs in that very hot fillies handicap on, I think it was Irish Derby weekend. It was a race that was won by Majestic Queen, who posted a very quick time and dragged the field along at a real good pace. And Toluther Come, who made the running for most of that journey, just faded inside the last furlong to finish fifth. But dropping back to 6 furlongs should be ideal. Decent draw here in trap 13. She usually likes to race handy. I think 10-1's a decent enough price for her. And perhaps Moronica as well, a horse who looked as though she needed the run first time out at Nice, is another one to pitch into the thought process in this race. Ridden by the find of the season, Connor King, who takes Andy 5 off. Drawn stall 11, likes fast ground, and dropping back into handicap company could be the key to her. So just a couple against the field here at prices. They're both drawn high, they both like the ground, Moronica and Toluther Come.
OK then, that is the 4:45, and the final race on the Curragh card is the 5:15 to handicap over a mile, and we've got a mix of some pretty unexposed 3-year-olds and some more experienced 4- and 5-year-olds here, Andy.
Yeah, the draw switches over here. When they come across the stand side at 6 furlongs, 5 furlongs, you want to be drawn high. But the stalls are often positioned, well, they are positioned on that far side, and they go past the dog leg after a furlong, and you want to ideally be racing on that far side route. So low stalls are definitely better off here. So the favourite, Karamaya, drawn in stall 17. I think this horse has got it all to do from stall that stall. 3-1 is a ghastly price as well, despite this horse finishing a good third behind Eastern Rolls last time out. I'd be very surprised if she's good enough to win from that stall position here. She's going to be marooned out on the wing when her more favoured rivals are on that far side rail, saving the ground. With that in mind, I'd probably put up two against the short price favourite here in the shape of Nuestra Alegria. That's my number one choice from the Edward Harty stable, ridden by Rory Clurley. Drawn in stall 2, good third last time out, a huge speed figure down in Leopardstown, which was almost advertised the night with Carenza not winning, but certainly putting up an eye-catching display. I think that horse is definitely going places, that David Watchman filly. I think she's one to keep an eye on. She got no run the other night down in Leopardstown. But Nuestra Alegra herself didn't get the best of runs through in that race on the 25th of July. Certainly did enough to suggest she's capable of winning off a marker 74. Drawn stall 2, 8-1. I think she'll go well. And again, another glowing endorsement for me for the William Hill odds compilers. They've got this absolute spot on, whereas other firms haven't. Jayad Jidan, 11-2 with William Hill. Some firms have gone 9-8-1 about this horse this morning. I think they've dropped a right clanger, whereas the odds compilers at William Hill haven't. I think this is a really improving three-year-old from the Denver Wells stable. A good speed figure, 2-star to go behind Dr. Funkenstein and One True Love on fast ground. And although winning at 1-5 at Galway the other day, as his odds suggested, he looked very much unsuited to that soft ground. And back on a quick surface, this cold by tier filly, I think, will certainly put it up to them here and run another good race back at the track where he's gone well before. So Jay Edgidan and Nuestra Alegra, my two against the field in the last.
Okay then, looks like it could be a decent day for Rory Clary, going off your tips there. Alright then, Andy, if you could just sum up your seven picks at the Curragh.
Yeah, first race I won't have an overly strong view, but I think Gorteo hopefully will go well for Johnny Murta, as she did on debut at the track. Big clash of the day for me is the 2:45, the Royal Whip Stakes between Maputo and Cintaloo, the two big speed figure horses either side of the Irish Sea. On this occasion I'll stick with Jim Borges' filly, who's in really good form at the moment. In the 3:15, the debutant stakes, Tapestry is going to be all the rage here, but I don't think she'll have it all around way as the odds suggest. And I'll go with stable companion, perhaps ahead of Avenue Gabriel. In the 3:45, well, Walker Man should keep his winning run in safe tact here. Should make it the hat-trick, despite his skinny odds. In the 4:15, I'll go with Hamza drawn stall 9 to hopefully make a good fist of it from up the stand side rail. 4:45, 2 against the field, both drawn high, Toulouse to come, and the top weight, Moronica. And in the final race, wide open affair, but I think the favourite's got it all to do from stall 17, Karamaya. And with that in mind, I'll go with Jayad Jidan, who's drawn in stall 3, and the one at the foot of the weights, Nuestra Alegra, drawn stall 2.
OK, great stuff, Andy. Good luck with those picks. Enjoy the cricket today. I know you're up at Durham.
Yes, should be good fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Is it raining, Andy?
No, it's bright and sunny this morning. That's the forecast for the rest of the day. So hopefully, for once, the forecasters have got it right.
Fingers crossed, anyway. Thanks, Andy.
Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.